Well, we've said it before, but I will say it again. We are so glad that you're here today. And this is November, and November for Southwinds Church is Global Impact Month. And so we take the month of November in particular to take a look at how are we and how is the church in general, how do we need to impact the world today with good news? And that's our theme for this month is good news. And we're talking about, of course, the good news of Jesus. Because the good news is that He has given us the right to become children of God, to be called sons and daughters of the very one that created the universe, the one that breathed life into people. He's the one that's given us the right, that's given us the ability, the only way to be called a child of God. And that is an amazing gift. And it's a gift with which not only that we've been entrusted, it's a gift that we need to share with others. And so, we talk about good news this month, in the month of November, and our key verse for this week is Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And Romans 10, 15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." It is a beautiful thing to have the honor to bring good news to the world. And so, one of the ways we do that is by telling people ourselves about Jesus, about the good news of who He is. And we also can give so that others can do the very same thing. Now, we take up a global impact offering during the month of November. And that comes to a culmination today. Now, if you forgot or if you said, "Oh man, I really wanted to do that, but I can't believe it's the 25th of November already." It's okay. You can still give towards global impact. And if you want, you can bring your offering next week or you can give through Tithely, which Kinsey will talk about in just a little while in our announcements. But we wanted to give you a little bit of a breakdown of all the areas that are impacted because of this over and above one-time offering every year. So, Braden, can you bring up that slide for me? Perfect. Perfect. So, this offering that we are going to take up, that we are all going, we've been praying through this month, God, what would you have me give? What would you have our family give sacrificially towards this? So, here are the areas that percentage of this offering will go towards. Every penny of this offering goes to taking the good news of Jesus to those that don't yet have it. Cuba is one place that this money will go. Our convention of churches here in Canada, the Canadian National Baptist Convention, has a partnership with Cuba. It's a persecuted church there, and yet they have allowed a partnership to take place between the churches. It's fascinating to me, fascinating, because the church, in order to grow and expand, it has to be underground. They have to do it in secret, but there's an official sanctioned church in Cuba. And they've allowed a partnership between us and that official church. And we are able to give to church planters, pastors, churches, building programs, buildings that you and I might look at that and not think that's a perfect place for a church to meet. But where Cubans go, this is such a gift. This is an amazing place to meet. Where we might be tempted to build a $3 million facility, they can do it with $2,500. It's amazing. So Cuba is one place that we're able to send that money. Hope Mission is another place, a place right here in Calgary that feeds children and families in the name of Jesus, that they're meeting physical needs at the same time that they're sharing the good news of Jesus with children and families right here in our own city. Go teams, groups of people that we send out from Southwinds Church to take the good news of Jesus where it is not already. We have an opportunity to go to Wyoming this summer, and if you'd like to be a part of that trip, you can talk to Kinsey, who's right over here, and she will take your information. If you'd like more information about that, we're going to have a construction team as well as a children's team to go. It's going to be not just a great time, it's going to be an awesome time to take the good news of Jesus to people that don't have it. Lastly, I'll mention the Global Impact Offering, and this is something that churches from all across our denomination, 404 different churches across Canada, will give towards this global mission offering, and this will go towards taking the good news of Jesus out beyond North America, right here in North America, and as well as help strengthen churches just like Southwinds Church. All right? That was a long rundown. Thanks for hanging with me, Southwinds. I appreciate it. And we feel like it's important for you to know, if you're going to give towards something, you need to know where's that going so that you can know exactly how people may be impacted through it. Good news. Well, today, our message, we're going to talk once again about good news. And we've talked about good news, prayer directs our feet towards mission. Good news, sacrifice. When we sacrifice, it identifies you, it identifies us with Jesus. We've talked about our personal role with the gospel. our personal role in taking the good news of Jesus to people. Today, we want to say good news. The good news is all you need is Jesus and your living room. That's all you need. Max Lucado, who is a somewhat famous pastor and author, he said, long before the church had pulpits and baptistries, which, if you've not been to it, if Southland's Church is the only church that you've ever known, this would be called a pulpit. We call it a music stand. It would be called a pulpit. It's where the person who's preaching stands. Okay? And a baptistry is the thing that we set up with a PVC pipe and a big plastic liner. Okay? And that's what people get baptized in. That's a baptistry. Pulpits and baptistries. Long before the church had pulpits and baptistries, she had kitchens and dinner tables. Even a casual reading of the New Testament unveils the house as the primary tool of the church. The primary gathering place of the church was the home. Consider the genius of God's plan. The first generations of Christians was a tinderbox of contrasting cultures and backgrounds. At least 15 different nationalities heard Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. That is the day that God sent his promised Holy Spirit to his people to dwell, to live in the lives of his people. Those that have been given the right to be called the children of God. Jews stood next to Gentiles. And in that time of day, that was unheard of. Rachel and I, my wife and I, just finished a movie called Race. And it's a great movie. This movie was about a runner, a sprinter, Mr. Owens, who was a sprinter in the early 1930s. And if you're familiar with what was going on with world history in the 1930s, the Nazis were rising up and they were gaining power and they hosted the 1933 Olympics. And this movie is about the tension, the racial tension that you could cut with a knife during that time. And it was about his right or his ability to be able to even run in those very Olympics just because of the color of his skin. And others just because of the faith they had. And we think, man, this is bizarre. I'm telling you, racial tension exists today. So when he talks about Jews and Gentiles standing next to each other, that was an unheard of thing. Because there was the Jews and then there was the Gentiles. They didn't mix. But in this sermon, they mixed. Men worshipped with women. Slaves and masters alike sought after Christ. Can people of such varied backgrounds and cultures get along with each other? We wonder the same thing today. Can Hispanics live in peace with Anglos? Can Democrats find common ground with Republicans? Can the UCP find ground with the NDP? Can a Christian family carry on a civil friendship with a Muslim couple down the street? Can divergent people really get along? The early church did. Without the aid of even community centers like this, if you were able to be here last week, Pastor John from Oklahoma, he was a guest speaker with us last week, and he talked about this being an extension of our living room, and I loved that image. Because this really should be an extension of what our living room is like, a welcome place for people to come into. But long before we had buildings like this, before we had church buildings, before there were official clergy or seminaries, they did so through the clearest of messages, which was the cross, and the simplest of tools, which was the home. Not everyone can serve in a foreign land, lead a relief effort, or volunteer at the downtown soup kitchen. One of the ways we can take part in those kind of things is the Global Impact Offering that we have this very month. But who can't be hospitable? Do you have a front door, a table, chairs, bread and meat for sandwiches? We don't have to put on a three-course meal. Something. Congratulations. If you have these things, you just qualified to serve in the most ancient of ministries called hospitality. And hospitality may be your way to take part in spreading the good news of Jesus. Something holy happens around a dinner table that will never happen in a sanctuary. In a church auditorium, you see the backs of heads. In a community center, you may see the backs of heads. We work very hard so you don't see too many backs of the heads. We set up this way. Around the table, you see the expressions on faces. In the auditorium, one person speaks. Around the table, everyone has a voice. Church services are on the clock. Around the table, there is time to talk. Hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. It's no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same result, healing. When you open your door to someone, you are sending this message: you matter to me and to God. You may think that you're saying simply, just come over for a visit. But what your guest hears is, I am worth the effort. Southwinds, I don't know about you, but is anybody here busy? Do you feel busy? I'm just going to keep my hand up because I just feel busy, right? And sometimes in our culture, if we ask, hey, how you doing? What you been up to? What is almost always our automatic response? We are busy. And if we don't say that, it's like, oh, I don't want to tell people I'm not busy. I think I'm lazy or something. You know, like we keep ourselves busy. And so I think that Max Lucado was really hitting on something here when he said, we might just be thinking, we're saying, just come on over for a visit. But what your recipient, what your guest is hearing is that I'm worth it. I'm worth the time. And we can set the pace in that, Southwinds Church. Now, I'm not saying that you need to have someone in your house every single evening. Because if you're an introvert, or maybe you are maybe you're married to an introvert, you'll kill them. We need to find our part in the good news. And good news is, really, all we need is Jesus in your living room. Maybe it's not your living room. All you need is Jesus in a coffee shop. All you need is Jesus in going to visit someone in a hospital room. All you need is Jesus in a welcome place. And it can change people. We're going to look at a story found in the book of Luke. And the Bible, which we believe is the truth of God, the very word of God that He's given us as a gift and to direct our lives, is made up of 66 different books. And Luke is one of those books. And it's what we call the New Testament. So the Old Testament would be that recorded, the recorded activity of God before He sent His Son Jesus into this world. And the New Testament is the recorded activity of God in this world from the birth of Jesus to His death, burial, resurrection, ascension into heaven, and the birth of what we call the New Testament church. And some letters to those churches. And this book is the book of Luke, and this is one of the records of the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, this is during the ministry of Jesus. Luke chapter 5. Starting in verse 27, okay? I'm going to read on the screen, and you can follow along, and if you have your device, you're welcome to go there. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and He said to him, "Follow me." That's all He said. Okay, this guy, tax collectors. If you don't know anything about tax collectors in the time of Jesus, they were less popular than tax collectors today. Blowing your mind right now, right? Less popular than tax collectors today because all of them were known to be corrupt. And the Jews saw them as really traitors. That these were ones that were just robbing from them to give to the Roman government, who really should have no authority over them. They gave a little bit of money that was their job to the Roman government, but these guys were really lining their pockets with the money of the people around them. The assumption was, I'm being cheated, but I can't do anything about it. There was not a great love for tax collectors. Levi is a tax collector. And we don't know much about what Levi knew about Jesus. All we know is that what we have right here, that Jesus walked up to him at his tax collection booth, at his table, and He said, "Levi, follow me." And He was inviting him into a relationship. He was inviting him to come along and do life with Jesus. This is what the invitation was, that Jesus offered him the opportunity to change his life. Leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Southwinds, I want you to know what just happened here. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." He invited him into this relationship. And does it say that Levi said, "Jesus, let me just finish collecting for the day. I get off at 5:30. Actually, I work for the government, so I, anyway, whatever. I get off at 5:30, I'm teasing. I get off at 5:30. Check with me then. You know, I think I can get somebody to cover my shifts for the next few days. We'll go check it out and see what it's like. He didn't say any of that. The record that we have from Luke is that he got up. He left everything behind. He left his livelihood behind. He left all the money that he was going to make, not just for that day, but any future income he would have. He left it all behind to follow Jesus. And what we have in Levi is a picture of every invitation that we give people. Every invitation that people receive, when they receive the good news of Jesus, they're invited into a relationship with him where he can change them. Jesus is the one that changes people. Not you and not me. I can't change a heart. Can you change a heart? I can't do it. We can give an opportunity for people's lives to be changed from the inside out. Leaving everything behind, he got up and followed him. Levi hosted a grand banquet for him at his house. Now there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with them. So, Levi is a tax collector, right? You remember how popular I said they are? Remember that? Hugely popular, wildly popular. Everybody wants to be around him. In fact, people couldn't stand tax collectors so much that they had to hang around each other because nobody else would hang around with them. But Levi, the first thing he does as soon as he starts to follow Jesus is he gathers a whole bunch of tax collectors to come to his house. Let's go on, next verse. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus replied to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came for this express purpose. You see, when Levi decided to follow him and enter into that kind of relationship with Jesus, he thought, I'm worth it. Jesus wants me to follow him. Remember what Max said? We might just think we're offering people an invite to a table, and they say, man, they think I'm worth the time to actually hang out with them for an evening. I know how busy they are. We're all busy, but we found the time to do this thing. You see, Levi, another name for him is Matthew, but Levi points his friends towards a different type of religious leader. You see, the religious leaders of the day, they did everything they could to distance themselves from those that they called sinners. And tax collectors would be in their own kind of category. They're not just sinners. They're like tax collecting sinners. And they did their best to distance themselves from these people. But Levi pointed his friends toward a different type of religious leader, one that seeks out those who have been separated from God. You see, in ancient culture, to sit at the table, it communicated a type of acceptance. And it often got Jesus into trouble with religious leaders. Because the fact that he just sat down at a table with these guys meant that he accepted them in some way. Whereas religious leaders, the Pharisees, those that knew all the rules, those that knew all of God's law and were supposed to help people follow God's law, instead, they chose to, versus help people, they chose to point out all the ways that they were better than those people that couldn't follow God's law as good as they could. The Pharisees avoided sinners in order to avoid even the suggestion that they endorsed the sinner. Southwinds, I think we can struggle here too. I think we can. The temptation is to say, now, like, I love them, and I don't want to promote that lifestyle in any way or what they're choosing to do in any way. And we can forget that we can get confused. Endorsing sin is not the same as endorsing someone created in God's very image that needs his good news, that may be craving his good news, that has no idea that good news exists out there, doing the very best they can. Kind of like what you and I were doing before we came to trust in Jesus. Do you remember that time? If you're here and maybe you were raised in a Christian home or raised in a church, sometimes it's hard to remember back before. I'm telling you, we all of us, people, are doing the very best we can until we are faced with the good news of Jesus. We realize, I can't do it on my own. I need Him to forgive me. I need Him to save me from myself. And I want to put my hope and my trust in Him. We want to invest in people. We want to uphold our end of the bargain. You see, there's things that only God can do. We talked about that, how only God can change a heart. Only God can make somebody new from the inside out. And He gives us some responsibility. And I think Matthew, or Levi, is a great example of what part of our responsibility is. Levi was just excited about the Jesus that he knew. And he wanted to introduce his buddies to Jesus. Now, it looks a little bit different for us today. Jesus doesn't physically come in the room. And, in some ways, Jesus physically comes in the room. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. That if we're followers of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit resides within us. And if the Holy Spirit resides within us, then God goes wherever we go. Now, God's everywhere anyway. We have Him inside of us. Romans 10, verse 14 and 15, are key verses for this month. How then can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Our job, South Winds, is to be bearers of the good news. To be the message and share the message. That we're to be like Levi. That we invite our people, our friends that we know. Maybe we invite them into our home. Maybe you're a great cook and you want to just produce the finest meal that anybody's ever seen. Or maybe you say, you know, cooking's not my strong point, but I want to have some people over. It doesn't matter what we put out. We put out our best. We are the people who carry the message and hope of Jesus with us wherever we go. And our job, our part in the good news, in taking the good news around this world, all we need is Jesus and your living room. All you need is Jesus and your living room. We see it here with Levi. We see God change lives. If you want to read other passages, Acts chapter 10 is another great passage, where this guy named Cornelius had a vision. And God told him to invite this guy that he'd never met into his house. Anyway, it's a fascinating story. Write it down. Put it in your phone. Acts chapter 10. You don't know what Acts is. That's okay. Just put Acts chapter 10 and Google Acts chapter 10. Okay? And it will come up. Read that story. It's a fascinating story. We're the people who carry the message and hope of Jesus with us wherever we go, South Winds. My part in taking the good news of Jesus into all this world, yes, I pray. Yes, I give. Yes, maybe I go. Maybe you are meant to go even to Wyoming this year. There's another opportunity that may be coming up in a different part of the States for us to teach people about how to throw a block party. You've been to a South Winds block party, and if you haven't, it's okay. We'll teach you what to do. Maybe you need to go. And maybe you just need to say, God, who do you want me to have in my living room? Who needs to come through my front door and just sit down around a table and talk about life and talk about our kids? I mean, it all starts with a conversation, all the while looking for an opportunity. Now, if you were able to come to training that we hosted on November the 3rd, it was a Saturday, and it was all about evangelism or sharing good news with people, then you saw this tool right here. It's a great tool, a great tool. And you can have a bookmark like this in your home. And we'll order some of these bookmarks. And if you need some, we'll get you some, okay? This is a tool developed by Dr. Susan Booth. And if you don't know who she is, you need to know who she is. Famous, wonderful lady. Gorgeous, yeah, that's right, her husband. Speaking up. I like that. That's good. That's good. She developed a simple tool for us. And this tool helps us with, you know, we were once whole. But then something happened and we were broken. And our relationship with God was broken. And then the cross. Remember what Max Lucado said? The church, when it was first started, people gathered in living rooms. They gathered around a table. And they used the clearest message, which was the cross, and the simplest of tools, which was their living room or their kitchen or wherever it was. But Jesus came. Jesus made us whole again. And then we ask a question. We ask a question about, have you ever considered who Jesus is and what he can do for you? Because I've shared with you what he did for me and what he's done for the whole world. Susan would do it better, but I'm telling you, it's a great tool. And there's a cheat sheet right on the back. It's amazing. You know, all you need is Jesus in your living room. Maybe you have a great tool like this that helps you in the midst of that conversation, that God does turn the opportunity towards Christ. Maybe it's sitting on your table, and somebody asks, now what is that? An open invitation. I'd love to share with you about this. In fact, somebody went home that very night and invited someone over and was able to walk them through this bookmark. Southwinds, there's good news out there. And good news is, really all we need are Jesus in a living room and a willing heart to take part in sharing the good news around this world. And that starts maybe right here in your community. It starts right here in your city. That starts right in your home with your relational network. Starts right there. Because how is everybody in this room here? Somebody shared with you the good news of Jesus. Somebody did. Maybe it was a church service. I know for me it was my mom in our home. I don't know who it was for you. Somebody shared with you. And you're here for a reason. And I want to invite you, if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus yet, that invitation is open to you right here and now, and it's open to you anytime. He came for you. He didn't just come for the people that you maybe see in this church, but he came for you. To a world that was once whole that he created, that was broken by sin. And the only way for it to be fixed again was for a perfect sacrifice on a cross. That brings the only way for us to be whole again. If you're here and you want to be like Levi and you want to follow Jesus today, you can do that. All you need to say is, Jesus, I need you to forgive me.